Mushun and in a way magani dug. Beishigo bine sea quay indigo. Mong in do dame. Ga usa squajime cog and doon jaba. Ga misqua wako cog in da. Elaine Fleming nindishina cause. So I'm continuing the story about Star Island. And it is mainly from an article that was written by Carol Crawford Ryan in 1976. And it was titled Saving Star Island, Land Use, Local Economy, and Community Interaction in Northern Minnesota. And so I talked about how history is written, and generally history has always been written from the point of view of the conqueror. And so this particular article, it was written by Carol Ryan, who was a summer resident of Star Island, and she was also the historian for the Star Island Protective League. And so as I look at history about Star Island, then I also want to include the history of the Ojibwe people, because originally that was all Ojibwe land before the summer residents and the Chippewa National Forest came to be a part of that island. And so this island is comprised of 1,163 acres. Of historical significance is the old Ojibwe village site on its northeastern point. It's thought that a smallpox epidemic in the 1890s wiped out that village. The wild rice storage pits, agricultural and building site clearings, and trails to the lakeshore can still be seen there. Shards of pottery from the prehistoric people of the Black Duck culture were also found there, too. And when we were people of the water, the Ojibwe were always people of the water. And so we traveled on the rivers and on the lakes. And so to get to Star Island, we would come down from the north part of the reservation, and we would come down from the Mississippi River area, and we would come down onto Star Island where this old village was situated. Henry R. Schoolcraft camped near this village in 1832. Ozawindib Yellowhead, he lived there. Ozawindib's the one who led Schoolcraft to the source of the Mississippi, in nearby Lake Itasca. Schoolcraft described the village in 1832 in this way, quote, an assemblage of wigwams built without right angle streets, with a public square, or rather an open grassy spot where councils and dances are held, and the ceremonies of the Wabanoag and Medicine Society performed, the whole circular opening constituting a town plat is surrounded with forest to shelter therein in summer and winter. Gardens are variously located and generally without fences, as there are no domesticated cattle. So that to say too that even in 1832 that the Ojibwe people had their gardens and were sustaining themselves with their gardens too, not just hunting and fishing and gathering. According to a live Google search that I did about Wabanoag, that where Schoolcraft said that the ceremonies of the Wabanoag and Medicine Society were performed in this open grassy area in the village. It said that the search said that the Wabanoag was known as the Dawn Society, and it's a distinct Anishinaabe society of visionaries. And so it had to do with Wabum, or the morning, when the sun comes up, and that people would have visions in this society. The Anishinaabeg peoples who practiced this in this society consisted of the Algonquin, Quin, the Nipissing, Ojibwe, Chippewa, Saulteaux, Mississaugas, Odawa, Potawatomi, and Ojibwe Cree, located primarily in the Great Lakes region of the U.S. and Canada. Like the Madewin, the Wabanowin is a secretive practice requiring an initiation. Thus, early non-Indigenous writers lump the information on the Wabanowin with the Madewin. But unlike the Made, the Wabano have sometimes two levels and sometimes four. This variation is dependent on the particular lodge. The Don Society was mentioned in the Song of Hiawatha by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who used informational materials made available from Henry Schoolcraft to compose his epic poem. The Don Society members were systematically imprisoned in mental hospitals by the United States government in the late 19th and early 20th century because of their ability to have visions. Because of this persecution, the Wabanowin went underground and have just begun to reemerge in the last decade. While many of the ceremonies and traditions are closely guarded, one that is known as the fire dance. So the Wabanowin have been coming out from underground and reestablishing themselves for about 15 years. There are active lodges currently in Saskatchewan, Ontario, Quebec, Indiana, and Michigan. It's said that the total population of the Ojibwe village that Ozawin Dib lived in during Schoolcraft's visit was 157. The village's population rarely exceeded 200 or 250. In 1898, Christopher C. Andrews, Minnesota's first fire warden and one of the state's earliest advocates of multiple forest usage, first saw Star Island. Because of the island's towering stands of red and white pine that hadn't been cut over by the lumbermen, Andrews helped persuade conservationists and the Minnesota Federation of Women's Clubs to work toward preserving the island as a park or government-run forest. At first, the National Forest was administered jointly by the Forestry Bureau, General Land Office, and Bureau of Indian Affairs. After Indian claims were considered finally settled in 1923, the Forest Service assumed full jurisdiction. And this is according to Newell Cyril, and Minnesota National Forest, The Politics of Compromise, 1898 to 1908. So in 1908, Congress set Star Island aside as part of the Minnesota National Forest that would in 1928 become known as the Chippewa National Forest. Development of the new experimental forest became an important issue for Gamiskwa Wakokog, that's known as Cass Lake now. It was originally that place of red trees, where red trees grew, red cedar trees. Local people, not the Ojibwe people, saw agriculture and logging as most important to economic development. The national forest didn't seem so important. But some Cass Lakers thought that as the logging industry declined, that the new national forest would bring tourists with money to spend in the local community. By 1917, the Cass Lake Commercial Club was promoting the area as, quote, the permanent home of the pine, end quote. It was a natural economic development that individuals and groups would argue about the kinds of commercial development that would best serve the area residents and the new forest agency. And so then again, we think about commercial development that would best serve the area residents and the new forest agency, and how the Ojibwe people were not a part of that. Miigwech bisandawi eg. Miigwech. I'll continue the story of Star Island the next show. Meet you.